Father Jose Silva, founder and developer of the Silva Method, is noted as one of the key players in modern meditation and personal growth. His life was a true testament to the power of the mind and daily mental practice. He used to say, "The discovery that human intelligence can learn to function with awareness at altered levels of mind will go down in history as the greatest discovery of man." It is sure to change our concepts of psychology, psychiatry, mind, and the subconscious. He discovered an amazing system of mental training that can literally change a person's life for the better. And he worked hard towards that outcome because he knew that if he, a man born from very humble beginnings with no formal education, could rise to the top and leave his mark on humanity, then so could everyone else. He didn't have an easy life. Far from that. His father was an engineer for a railroad company and died from wounds suffered from an accident during the Mexican Revolution. His mother was left widowed with 4 children under the age of 6, one being an infant. This meant my father, at the age of 4, had to get to work shining shoes and selling newspapers in order to help his mom support the family. Yet, the interesting thing is that my father, who was amazing at looking at the positive side of every situation, believed that those unfortunate experiences in his childhood taught him to be an entrepreneur, innovator, and inventor. In fact, aside from being the founder of the world's most practiced method of dynamic meditation, he also has 4 U.S. patents for biofeedback equipment. As I said earlier, life wasn't easy for my father. But that didn't hold him back. He was very keen to spot opportunities and never shied away from hard work. I actually believe he thrived on hard work. Then in his mid-20s, he met the young and beautiful Paula Gonzalez, and they instantly fell in love. They were married 2 weeks later. Go figure. It came to be a marriage that lasted nearly 60 years and resulted in 10 children, 28 grandchildren, and over 25 great-grandchildren. Early in his marriage, and with 3 young children, he was drafted to serve his country. The good thing is that he seemed to create luck wherever he went. And with his knowledge in electronics, his expertise was best used away from the front lines. Lucky, I'll say, especially having lost one of his youngest brothers, Richard, in battle. And interestingly, it was when he was drafted and being evaluated for good physical and mental health that he became interested in psychology and behaviorism. Here's an old recording I found of my father talking about just that.
When I was drafted, like almost everybody my age, you know, during the Second World War, I had a talk with a psychiatrist. I became very interested in what he was doing. I thought at the time he was asking silly questions. But then again, he was asking these questions to be able to draw answers to see how one responds, to see if we are all there, if nothing is missing up above. And he gave me a book to read, and from here on, I became interested in the study of psychology. My field has been in electronics. So psychology and electronics now. Let's put them together and see what we can do with it. Now, to begin with, I came across a term in the study of psychology, hypnosis. I wanted to know what that was. So I studied under the big wigs in the United States, the big masters in hypnoanalysis, the big hypnoanalysts and medical hypnotists and so forth. I became very proficient in the use of hypnosis. I could help a person enter a certain depth of mind whereby this person could go through surgery without chemical anesthesia. Now that's as deep as you can get anybody. Now from there on, after spending years on hypnosis, I came across the term parapsychology. Well, I wanted to know what that was also. So I started to investigate and subscribe to all centers in the United States, New York City, at the time Columbia University Health Department, Wayland Baptist University Health Department, England, Psychic Research out of England, Duke University, Dr. Ryan. Bring me up to date, what is parapsychology? This is where I started to talk to Dr. Ryan and met Dr. Ryan personally. Now, in doing so, I thought that the parapsychology was a field of science, or a science, that would train people to use what Dr. Ryan used to say, or call extrasensory perception, or ESP. Well, when I talked to the man, he said, there's no such a thing. Nobody can develop such an ability. It's something like the IQ factor. Some have it, some don't have it. Some have more, some have less. Well, to me, that didn't sound right. I didn't feel that whoever we call God, you know, discriminated and gave some of us more and some of us less. I figured that we all have it, but it needs to be developed. It's up to us to develop whatever that is. And see if one can develop power of mind to be able to resolve problem situations, to find a solution for them. And I continued to study psychology, and I came across the term electrocephalography. Now I'm talking about the electronic equipment that is used to detect and measure brain waves of human beings, human brain waves. Now that was pretty interesting for me, because me in the field of electronics and playing around with equipment that has to do with electronics, we find that the brain vibrates like the heart beats. But the brain vibrates so many times per second, and the heart beats so many times per minute. So the thing is then, looking into the brain, I started to figure, isn't it interesting, there's something like cycles in radio, we call thousands of kilocycles in radio, or hertz, you know, now it's been changed to hertz. In television, you know, we talk about millions of or megacycles or megahertz. Well, here we're talking about cycles as measured in radio or television, but basic units of measurement, not thousands of or kilos or millions of or megas, just simple basic units of measurement. So we're talking about the brain pulses up to an average of about 20 vibrations per second. When one is conscious, the average overall brain frequency that we detect on the human brain is 20 vibrations per second. This is when a person is conscious and awake. You see, we only learn to do two things in life with our brain by natural means, to stay awake and or to go to sleep. But now then, we need to learn to use our brain and learn something else to do with it, not just stay awake and go to sleep. We need to resolve problem situations. This system, or the Silver Method, is a product of a series of coincidences. For me, a coincidence is a certain event taking place whose end results are beneficial. Because an event that takes place whose end results are detrimental, I consider an accident. So we did not stumble on this method by a series of accidents. We stumbled, I would say stumbled, came across this method, discovered it, by having experienced a series of coincidences.
My father deeply believed in the positive value of coincidences, and that every so-called accident could easily be converted into a coincidence by searching for the lesson and learning from it. Fortunately, all those coincidences led to the discovery of the Silver Method. Yet, many back in the 1960s and 70s were afraid of this new science he had discovered. His community thought he was crazy. How could a TV repairman, a man without any formal education, someone they knew all of their lives, a Mexican-American born in the small border town of Laredo, Texas, come up with such nonsense? Here's my father once again talking about some of the experiences he had to go through to validate his work scientifically.
scientists to begin with were criticizing us that there's no way you can control brain waves. That the only time you can produce the alpha is in a state of reverie, meaning a non-thinking state, okay? A relaxed mind, non-thinking mind, like in deep meditation, passive meditation. Well, we were saying, no, you can learn to activate your mind and still function in that dimension. Well, they were not accepting it. They were calling us all kinds of names. We're crazy, we don't know what we're talking about, we're not scientists. One name that they used to mention is psychoceramic, meaning crackpots in their language, you know? They call it, we're crackpots. Well, okay. And this Mexican whatever, there's no way. Until finally we had to go to a university and make arrangements with the scientists in charge of the psychophysiology labs and to do a project for us to prove that we were right. So we took it to this lab, and sure enough, this individual said, the scientist, the top scientist of this department, he said, Mr. Silva, you know what you're asking for? You're asking to run a project that maybe will destroy your concepts, because you could be wrong, you know. You only think you're right. But if you're so sure that you're correct, we'll run it. Because not only can we prove that you're right, but we'll back it up scientifically. It could go either way. We can back up scientifically that you're wrong, you see. Are you willing to risk it? And I said, I'm so sure of these results that I'm willing to risk it. Well, okay. At the end of the project, we selected some medical students, 50 medical students, in a certain class in university medical school. And then we pre-tested them with a battery of psychological and parapsychological tests to be able to put numbers on their mental faculties, find a baseline, so to speak. And then we trained them at the university, and at the end of the training, we again used the same battery of psychological and parapsychological tests, and all the numbers changed completely. It's as though we took that individual out and put him in his place. I mean, they were so amazed to see this happening. The scientists were unbelievable. And then a paper was written, scientific work was written, and it was published in a scientific journal in England that we were correcting what we were saying. From that day on, the scientists that were criticizing us didn't criticize us anymore. They thought they were right. They lost faith, you know. So that was the first scientific proof that we could control our brain waves. And this is what we have done with children now. And since the alpha is the strongest, and we have trained children, we have trained fools completely. The faculty and all, the biggest that we have trained is in Pennsylvania. In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the Hallahan Project, 2,000 schoolgirls. The school was closed down for a whole week. We brought in all of our top instructors into school, and we trained 2,000 schoolgirls in 1 week. And they were pre-tested and post-tested, and tremendous benefits were achieved after the post-testing. And from there on, we tested them again. Like in some other school, we've tested every 6 months, and it keeps on increasing and improving. Their faculties, the grade point average, keep on increasing after the training has been done. And with more practice, they're getting better and better. So actually, for children, in one of these days, this system that we have will be incorporated in the educational system to train all students from kindergarten to universities, to medical universities, chiropractic universities, to all levels of engineering and so forth, so that everybody will develop the use of both brain hemispheres with our system. We're willing to cooperate with these people, and we have offered it to them, and we're ready for them to take the next step to supply their needs and help them accomplish this. There's no clean-cut division of humanity or profession that we can say these people need it more than anybody else. Everybody needs it. Keep in mind that if we improve the functioning of the mind, we improve humankind in every area, at any age. This is the most important faculty that we have, the use of our minds in anything. Mind is a common denominator. You can apply it in everything.
What I remember throughout my childhood is that he did research all the time. Daily, he would meet with family, friends, and supporters. And he would hypnotize anyone who wanted to participate in his research, where he would experiment with positive and negative hallucinations, age regressions, age progressions, regression to past lives, future lives, and intuition. The church he belonged to also thought he was crazy and believed he was doing the work of the devil. Neighbors would actually tell my mom to sleep with one eye open in order to keep her guard. My father didn't let any of those critics stop him. Once he had evidence that his findings led to positive and repeatable success, he offered it to the government, but was rejected. He still didn't give up. He just kept on going, having a deep belief that what he had discovered would be of great value to humanity. He then went on a lecture circuit, talking to everyone he could. And it was during one of his lectures at Wayland Baptist University that members of an art class heard what he had to say and wanted to learn everything they could from him in order to enhance their creativity. That was back in 1966. He taught his first Silva Method class to a group of art students, and the word of his work spread like wildfire. Now, the method that you are learning is the evolution of this core research that changed the world. Stay dedicated to your practice. Be open to new ideas and have fun practicing the Silva Method in your life. We'll be right back.